Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you again, as always, that you have invited us here into your presence to bask in the glory of worshiping you and to share in hearing and thinking about your word. I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Happy second Sunday after Easter. That's always a little bit confusing to me. This is the second Sunday after Easter. Last Sunday, Easter Sunday, was actually the first Sunday after Easter. I don't know the fancy names. I'm not cool like Todd, but just happy second Sunday after Easter. God wants to reach us because we need to be reached. I'm just going to say that again. I know it's not complicated, but I'm going to say it a lot. God wants to reach us because we need to be reached. In his sacrifice and resurrection, Jesus extended the mercy of God to all of us. And so as we live in this time after Easter, I want to spend a few minutes thinking about the mercy of God that he extends to us. The first thing I want to say is that God's mercy is abundant and expansive. It's not small. He wants to extend it as broadly as possible. We have, right in the beginning of Acts, as soon as the Spirit comes on the disciples, they step out of the building and there's a crowd there. And Peter preaches to the crowd. Then he goes to the temple and he preaches to another crowd, offering them God's mercy to all of these people. We have in our gospel passage, lost my train of thought. We have in our gospel passage, John explains the purpose of this book is I'm writing to all of you. We have the disciples who've seen the Lord, but John is writing to all of these other people, everybody who can get his letter, so that they also can believe. The purpose of writing something down and sending a letter is so that you can reach more people with it. So, God is trying to extend his mercy as broadly as possible. Again, when Peter's talking, he talks about if you open your scriptures to Acts. Peter quotes God to Abraham, that God's purpose is that all of the families of the earth be blessed. His target audience is broad, to reach as many people as possible with his mercy. Because all of us need to be reached. He wants to reach us because we need to be reached. But his mercy is also particular. He reaches us where we are. There are so many fun things about our gospel passage today. It's really easy to focus on Thomas. But most of the rest of the disciples don't come off a lot better if you spend a lot of time with it. First off, this is the evening of Easter. And they are hiding in a room that is locked because they're afraid of the Jews. They have already seen the empty tomb. They have heard the testimony that Christ is alive. Angels have come to them. And they're hiding in a room. They're like, whew. All right, let's lock the door too. This is scary. John, right before our passage, he even says, that they didn't know what was going on. That's how he puts it. They don't know what's going on. So they're scared. They're locked in a room. They've heard that Jesus is resurrected, but they're not sure what to believe. And then we focus on Thomas, who says, I'm not going to believe unless I see the marks in his hands and the marks in his side. But if you read the passage, all Thomas is asking for is what the other disciples already received. If you look at the beginning of the passage, it's the evening of the day, the first day of the week, the doors are locked. Jesus came and stood among them. And when he had said peace to them, and he showed them his hands and his side, then the disciples were glad. So it isn't that the rest of the disciples were faithful and eager to believe that Jesus had been resurrected. They also were probably incredibly alarmed that a figure that looked suspiciously like Jesus had just appeared in their locked room where they were sitting terrified. And Jesus showed them, look, hands, side, you can touch me, I'm real, this is me. And then they were glad. So it isn't that Thomas was asking for something that other people didn't need. He was a little bit jealous and probably somewhat petulant that he had been left out. But all of the disciples were having trouble. But Jesus, in his mercy, met them where they were, in a locked room, knowing that they were having trouble believing, knowing that they were afraid. His mercy went to where they were. He didn't wait for them to come out of their locked room. He went to them because he wanted to reach them, knowing that they needed to be reached. And then we see, as his spirit moves in the disciples, they also take on that character. The spirit comes upon them, and immediately they pour out into the streets to share it with others. And then not just with the crowds in the streets. It doesn't say it in our reading today, because if you saw our Acts passage, it was like cobbled together verses. All of the verses that they omit tell the setting of the story. The setting of the story is Peter and John going to the temple where the faithful Jews would be. And they heal a man who's there. And all of the people in the temple are amazed. But what I want to highlight is that they go to the temple. They are going out to find people who are looking for God, who need to be reached, so that they can extend God's mercy to them. God's mercy is very active. It seeks out people where they are. But it isn't a weak mercy. It's a strong mercy. It seeks out people who need to be reached. And is honest with them that they need to be reached. Father Royster, who spoke on Good Friday, talked about how in our culture we have this kind of assumption that we're all good people. And that when we die, if God is real, we're all going to go to heaven. Lewis talked about sort of imagining that God is a kindly grandfather whose only concern is that everybody had a good time. And so there's a sort of, we call it mercy, that tells people they don't have anything to worry about. It's not really a problem. Nothing's wrong. But that's not the mercy we see from God. The mercy that we see from God is the mercy offered to people in desperate need of mercy. When Peter is talking in the temple, he ends by saying, God wants to bless all the families of the earth. But that isn't where he starts. Again, let's look at our Acts passage. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer. You killed the author of life. And we're all witnesses of this. So he doesn't start with, hey, God is happy. Let's all hug. He wants to bless us. The mercy of God is extended to people in desperate need of mercy. And there are two things to think about there. The first is, the abundance of the mercy extended. And the second is, the freedom that comes with that mercy. God wants to reach us because we need to be reached. And he wants to reach us with the mercy that we need so that we can have life in Christ. He wants to reach us with the mercy we need. A mercy that doesn't shy away from all of the things that we've done. And if it is mercy extended to us who killed the holy and righteous one, who denied the Son of God and asked instead for a murderer, if it's mercy big enough to be extended to us who've done that, then it's mercy big enough when we fight with our spouse when we are afraid that maybe we don't have enough money to tithe, when we are tempted by any of the things that our culture offers to us, when we fail. The Epistle of John, 1 John, which 1 John is the Johnniest of all the Johns. I needed to print out in large print the entire Epistle of 1 John so that I could go after it with a pen, because I don't write in books, because I'm a good person. trying to sort out what John is saying. He uses words, I'm like, I know all of those words. Let me read that again. And it can seem like John is saying, if you keep the commandments, you're okay. If you're righteous enough, God will love you. If you don't knock your microphone off in the middle of your sermon, that's because I called myself a good person. That's what we call comeuppance. It seems like John could be saying that. But John also says, if you say you haven't sinned, the truth isn't in you. But if we sin, we have an advocate. Jesus, who though we denied him and asked for a murderer, wants to have mercy on us. So, the mercy of God is strong. It's mercy that doesn't have to gloss over our desperate need for mercy. And because it doesn't have to gloss over our desperate need for mercy, we can have confidence in it. We don't have to think, well, if God knew the truth, I would never be able to receive the Eucharist. Because God knows the truth and extends his mercy to you. We don't have to think, well, I've screwed up really bad this time. Maybe this is the time that's going to push God over the limits. But his mercy was extended to us, even though we killed the holy and righteous one, his son whom he glorified, that we traded for a murderer. Mercy that's big enough and strong enough for no matter what we do. And one of the recurring themes of the New Testament, it's in 1 John 2, it's also in Paul. All of our walk with Christ starts with Christ loving us first. We love because he loved us. How can we love if we don't have confidence that he loved us first? So if we're able to lean into a mercy that's big enough to love us, even though we killed the holy and righteous one, then we can lean into mercy every other time we fail, with every other area of our lives where we desperately need mercy. And as we lean in to the love of God, we are then able to love like God loves. God wants to reach us because we desperately need to be reached. So here, the second Sunday after Easter, what I want to invite us all to do, me too, not just you, is to let God reach us with his mercy, to reach us where we are, maybe hiding in a room confused, maybe confident that we're too bad of a person, maybe thinking that if everybody discovered that one thing, I would get kicked out of the church. Let God reach us, because he knows we need to be reached. So that as we proceed through this Easter season, leaning into his mercy, we can love like he loved and have life in Christ. Amen.